to we've looked recently at some passages about what kind of church we should try to be, and some passages that give some direction about that. And we looked at Ephesians 4:12 a couple weeks ago, which encourages us to be a church that's building up believers, that's edifying. That's what edifying means, building up. And that's the goal for everybody, and we should all be participating in it. And then we looked last week at Matthew 28:19-20, which is the Great Commission. And the main emphasis of the Great Commission is on making disciples. And of course, that should be what we should be striving for, a church that's making disciples. We looked at that goal last week, which really is the total commitment of a life to Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is. It's a follower, but somebody whose whole life is given over to Jesus Christ. And we saw that that's a process that starts with evangelism. It starts with giving out the good news of the gospel. And of course, that's the very first step in making a disciple. Somebody has to come to believe on Christ and put their faith in Jesus Christ, having heard the gospel. And then there's a teaching that needs to take place of all that Jesus has commanded, as it says there. And then there's baptism as a part of that process. And so we looked at that last week. But this morning we're going to go back here and look at the very first church. The very first church, Acts chapter 2, was the church there in Jerusalem. And it had just gotten started. It started with evangelism, really. The Apostle Peter preaching the gospel in Jerusalem after the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And there at the end of chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 41 through the end here, 47. And we're going to see here just the heart of this church. We see a church with a healthy heartbeat. You know, with your physical heart, you have a heartbeat, and there's healthy heartbeats, and there's unhealthy heartbeats, and various kinds of illnesses that can go along with that. But, you know, your heartbeat, I think, is supposed to be somewhere between 60 and 100 beats per minute, I think. And if you're really in shape, you know, it can be real low. Just your resting heartbeat can be down to 40. Somebody that's really, you know, really into exercise and things like that, it can be lower. But there's a healthy heartbeat. And, of course, the church doesn't have a physical heart, but the heartbeat or a pulse is really the underlying attitude, the sentiment that is propelling something forward, a driving force. And this church had that as we look at it. Something was flowing out from within them. And I want to just especially focus on that attitude, that heartbeat, you could call it here, and several different aspects of it. But notice verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Verse 42, I want you to notice their heartbeat of devotion. we have this word continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. In the book of Acts, this is actually the second time that this word is used, continued steadfastly. We see it also in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, that describes the devotion of the 120 just after the ascension. In verse 14 of chapter 1, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." So this is something they were demonstrating even back before that time, the smaller group. But this idea is to adhere to persist in, to persevere, to continue to do something with intense effort. That's the idea of continue steadfastly. It's a word that comes up again in Acts. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, reference to the apostles and their priorities of ministry. It says, they say, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." If you think about Olympic athletes, and sometimes you read the stories or see what goes on behind the scenes of those Olympic athletes, you know, they have pretty much devoted their entire lives to their sport. You know, they didn't just get there by chance. I mean, they decided when they were very young, they were going to, you know, do whatever sport, hockey or figure skating, and they just devoted themselves to that and spent hours and hours a day and went into the gym every day working. The same with a musician. You know, a musician has to devote themselves to daily practice, or a student learning some new language or course of study. They give themselves completely to it. And that's the idea of this attitude here. They continued steadfastly. And we're told what they were committed to is doctrine. That's teaching, both the activity of teaching and also what is taught. Fellowship, the relationship, the associations they had as Christians. The breaking of bread, probably a reference to the Lord's Supper. Prayers as well. But we see their heartbeat there. They didn't just sort of add this new Christian faith to their lives and they went about as normal. It changed them, and their whole attitude, their whole outlook. They devoted themselves to these things. They had this heartbeat. And then we see another heartbeat. You could call it a heartbeat of love for others. Verse 44. "And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." Now, that may sound a little bit scary to us as Americans. Sounds like communism. And was that what they were practicing? Well, we need to notice the purpose of it here. It was for the care of needs in their group of believers. It was as every man had need. They were looking after the needs. How did they do this? Well, they seemed to have some sort of fund that they used. They put their resources into that and then distributed out of it as every man had need. People sold various things, possessions. Can refer to real estate, that word, as it does in chapter 5, verse 1. Was it communism? Well, not quite. In Acts chapter 5, we see that this was done on a voluntary basis. We read about Ananias and Sapphira and the trouble that they got into. But were they forced to sell their property? No, they weren't forced to do it. The Apostle Peter rebukes them, and you get the idea in his rebuke that they didn't have to do this. They chose to do it, and they didn't do it with the right attitude, and they lied about the way that they had done it, the money that they had given from that. But they didn't have to do it. We read that they still had homes. We read here in the book of Acts, they went from house to house. And obviously, they still had houses that they could go to and meet in. And so, not quite communism, but it was a way that this early church, very first church, worked together to help their needy members. You know, the Christian faith did not solve all the financial issues that people had there in Jerusalem. In fact, from what we know about the church in Jerusalem, it continued to struggle with poverty. The Apostle Paul was out on his missionary journeys, taking up collections to send back to the needy believers there in Jerusalem. And they had these issues here of needs. And we see the heartbeat that this early church had for the people, their own, their members, their needs that they had. And they desired to try to help to meet those needs. And so that's a healthy heartbeat. Are there other ways to show love for others? Of course there are. In our context, it may be communicating, giving a call or a text. It may be a visit. It may just be being willing to share what you have and trying to help to meet the needs that we see all around us. So they had this heartbeat of love for others. They had this heartbeat of devotion. And then we see another part of their heartbeat, a heartbeat of worship. Verse 46, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." They had a heartbeat of worship. They assembled regularly for worship. Where were they doing that? They were actually doing that in the temple still. And there were these areas in the temple where people could meet, and various groups did meet, and they used those covered porticos to gather daily in the temple for worship. And that obviously didn't last very long because they were, kicked out of the temple pretty much. But early on there, they were meeting right there in those temple areas. They weren't only just meeting in their homes. They were gathering in the temple. And they did it with one heart. They had an attitude of worship in all they did. It says they did meet together for meals. And we see this attitude spilling out of them of gladness and joy and praise to God. It wasn't just that they worshiped in the temple. They were clearly praising God and worshiping whenever they were together, and they had that heartbeat for that. So how can we have that as a church? How can we have that heartbeat, healthy heartbeat? Well, we see that it's the result of, early on here, salvation. God's work in the heart of these new believers there early on, God changed them. They had the Holy Spirit within them and was giving them these desires. I think we have to recognize also that this is probably we could call the honeymoon period of the church. Really, as you look back at church history, was there ever anything quite like this? This church at Jerusalem and the things that they did. And certainly there have been times of the church where they've had this wonderful attitude and times when it kind of sinks down. But even still, that's really our desire. This is where we want to be. Perhaps the heartbeat isn't as strong and as regular as it was back at this time when the church first started. But we have to recognize this is what we want. We want to see that attitude in our church of devotion and love for others and worship and praise to God. I'm reminded of Paul's words I think we need from time to time. But in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, Paul reminds us, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Then he says in verse 9, Galatians 6, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And so sometimes we have to have the attitude of the farmer as we think of our church. And many times it's a sowing that we're doing. We need to not be weary in well-doing, Paul says, "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of this early church in Jerusalem. And we admire the heart that they had, their devotion and their love and their worship. And we pray, Lord, you would give that same heartbeat to us, that we would have the same devotion and love that they had and desire to worship and praise you. And we confess that times we do grow weary, and it's a challenge for us at times. But Lord, help us remember what you've done for us in saving us, the deliverance from our sins. And we pray that your mercies would motivate us to serve you and to continue to do that. And so please help our church in the days ahead. Help us to have this attitude that we see in the Scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll take some time for prayer here this morning, and there is a prayer sheet available if you would like that. It's there in the foyer, or I think there's some on the table over here. But I want to just share some requests. I want to pray for Steve Lewis, as he recovers from his knee replacement. He's having some challenges. I guess they're saying that he's got scar tissue built up there on it, and that's not bending like it should. So he said he may actually have to, they may actually have to put him under again. And I guess what they do is just crank that knee to break that scar tissue and try to get it moving like it's supposed to. So that's a possibility anyway, he said. And then also pray for the Ring family. Some of you know Hannah Ring. She's the camp kitchen superintendent, cook. Heard yesterday that one of her sisters passed away suddenly in her sleep, Lydia Ring. I guess she had had some trouble with seizures over the past 2 years, and she passed away yesterday morning. Or sometime during the night yesterday. So pray for the Ring family. I'm not sure how old she was, but something like that. So pray for the Ring family. All right. Any other prayer requests you want to mention, or praises or prayer requests? Yes, Sue?
First of all,
okay.
And a friend of ours, Polly Dunnigan, her daughter Kay, is having some serious back surgery this coming Friday.
All right. So a friend of the Millers, daughter Kay, is having back surgery this coming Friday. And then Sue's sister-in-law, Wanda Pierce, issues with her blood count is down, and then having surgery coming up soon, stomach-related surgery. So pray for Wanda Pierce. All right, anybody else? Any other prayer requests? Yes, Barb?
Mom's brother, or uncle, Mac, that's been here before. seems to be internal bleeding, and they're trying to get that under control, but he still is, you know, having trouble. And we think the prayers are helping. Would like those to continue.
Okay, pray for Shirley's brother, Mac Hay. He's still in the hospital, so continue to pray for him. Some internal bleeding issues, and so just lift him up.
COVID results in clots, and they gave him the blood thinners for that, and that has, now that's contributing to this internal bleeding, so, and his bone marrow isn't producing the cells that it's supposed to be. And his children, he's been in there, you know, over 30 days, and it's wearing on them. They are allowed to take turns by his bedside, but, you know, they need prayer too.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of issues stemming from his having COVID and the treatment, and pray for his family, his children, he's been there over a month now, sounds like. All right. Anyone else this morning? Other prayer requests? Yes, Becky. Okay, praise at Bennington, no new positive cases for the virus. So that's a praise. All right, anyone else? Any other praises or prayer requests? Praise that all of you made it safely here this morning. Some of the roads weren't plowed, some were, but we made it in, so. All right. Anything else? Any unspoken requests? We mentioned Becky with an unspoken, okay. What else? All right, so be sure to look at the prayer sheet as well. And remember those requests, some from last week there, but they're printed it up for you here. All right. If there's not anything else, then we'll go ahead and spend some time.